Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Many times here on Exploring Missions, we're sharing with you what God has done. But sometimes we want to share with you what God is doing and wanting you to be a part of that. And that is today's program. Matter of fact, it is very timely, and I'm going to use the word urgent. We're doing this because of a great need. And Nathan, a lot of times missions do come out of needs. We always know people need the Lord. That is a given. But sometimes in their physical needs, we can really open the door, can't we?
Yeah, that's right. As we notice physical needs, urgent needs, critical needs around us, many times that's God's invitation for us as the church, as his body, as his people on mission, for us to engage in that and help meet that need in Jesus' name, especially if those needs are critical or maybe impact a group of people that I would say is close to God's heart. Everybody is close to God's heart. Let's just say that. But
in the scriptures, you'll find some special groups, don't you?
Yeah, there is. There are special groups called out. Orphans are one, widows are another, but also strangers. The Bible uses different terms to reflect who a stranger might be. You might see in your translation strangers. You might see aliens, foreigners, maybe even the word sojourner. But all these people that are not born in the country of or the land of Israel, born in another land, have come into Israel, come to live among and be a part of the people of God. God has a special love for those people. In fact, in the Old Testament, there are three people given as a command. God says to love these people. Love God, love your neighbor, and love the strangers among you. And so we see a lot of places in Scripture where this part of God's heart is shown. One of the first places is Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. It says how the Israelites journeyed. This is when they're leaving their captivity in Egypt. So God's making the way for them to leave Egypt in slavery and go into the promised land before they become an established country and nation and a people with under a covenant of God. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them. So there were people already in Egypt from other lands and other places that decided to go with God and his people into the promised land. So people from other countries, other lands, foreigners, what you would say is a stranger. Also in Exodus chapter 23, and verse 9, it says this, "Do not oppress a foreigner." Now, this is one of the commands. After the Ten Commandments are given, there's more of a specificity of how these commands are to play out in the rest of the book of Exodus. So chapter 23, 9, "Do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners because you were foreigners in Egypt." A foreigner is on God's heart, and he wants his people to treat them well.
In Leviticus, this passage, and a lot of times when people are reading Leviticus, they get all tied up with the details of so many issues. And, oh, man, but some of them are so, I would say, personal and very pointed. This one is in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. "If a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. But the stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, as you were as lands in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So you shall love them yourself." And so the Bible makes it plain that these strangers, that they were to be treated correctly, and even not just mistreated, but treated correctly.
And not just tolerated, but even loved.
Yeah, that's right.
speaking of loving and bringing them into the covenant community, Isaiah 14, verse 1, the Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Once again, he will choose Israel and will settle them in their own land. Foreigners will join them and unite with the descendants of Jacob. There's also passages in Malachi.
It's Malachi chapter 3. And Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, it says it plainly, and it says again, and I will come near you for judgment. I'll be swift witness against sorcerers and adulterers. But it says later on, do not turn away the sojourner, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Do not turn them away.
So judgment from God is tied up with how we treat foreigners and strangers as the people of God. And then there's talk about strangers and foreigners even in the New Testament, but a well-known passage about strangers is in Hebrews, right?
Hebrews 13:2, one that I've quoted many times. Do not forget to entertain strangers by far. So doing, some have you entertained angels, not knowing that you were entertaining them. So strangers are very important to God. Nathan, I know you worked with a lot of people in your 5 years in Clarkston, Georgia. So you got to know a lot of these people in their hearts, and many of them were so gracious to you and you gracious to them. It's a ministry worth putting our hand to, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And so we're going to have an interview in just a minute with a friend of mine who is giving us an opportunity to be involved in engaging in a critical need, specifically among resettled refugee populations here in the United States in a little town called Clarkston, Georgia. But let me just say this. There are needs all around us wherever you are, be they strangers or just neighbors, people that are in need around you. Our guest today on Exploring Missions is Ellie Thaxton. Ellie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Nathan.
So Ellie and her husband, Michael, and I go way back. If you're a longtime listener to this program of Exploring Missions, you'll know that I will, from time to time, bring up my time in Clarkston, Georgia, known as the Ellis Island of the South, or the most diverse square mile in America. My work serving among, in particular, resettled refugees who had come into the country, and we were just doing a lot of work there in that area. Well, some of the dearest, I'll just say some of the best people I know that I got to serve with while there were Michael and Ellie. I can go on and on about them, but I won't, because we're going to need our time today to discuss a particular issue in a way that you as a listener might can engage and help today. But Michael and Ellie were just real key in my own personal spiritual growth and just good friends. They've done a lot years and years in Clarkston, Georgia. If you don't know where Clarkston, Georgia is, if you get a map and you find Atlanta, just on the east side of the perimeter of Atlanta, Georgia, you'll find a small little town of Clarkston. Ellie, can you tell us a little bit, just paint a basic picture of what Clarkston, Georgia is like and what living there and serving there is like?
Clarkston's a very unique community because it's 8 miles from the city limits of Atlanta, but it feels like a little small town, and it's a area that's been used as a refugee resettlement area. It has a ton of apartment complexes within this 2 little square miles. And in these apartment complexes, they've resettled refugees from war-torn areas. And they've been doing that for a few decades now. Places like Congo, Afghanistan, Syria, Somalia, Sudan, Nepal, Myanmar, Rwanda, you name it, we probably have someone from that country in the Clarkston or the Clarkston area.
Yeah, and so you and Michael have been serving there for how long now? How long? I know Michael preceded both you and I, and you met Michael while you were there. How long has Michael been in Clarkston?
I think 15 years.
Yeah.
And I've been there 12 years now. I came right after I graduated college.
Yep. And so you and I and Michael went through and served some, and now you are serving with, well, tell us about the organization that you are serving with now.
So it's called Remerge, and it is a Christian organization, and underneath Remerge is a program called Giving Grace. and we focus on the most vulnerable people in the Metro Atlanta area, and I head up the Clarkson Area Fund of Giving Grace. And so a lot of people have heard of Giving Grace that live in Metro Atlanta because we do meet a lot of emergency needs. We help a lot of single parents. We help at-risk youth or youth have aged out of foster care. We help elderly people, but especially just the extremely poor and people who are living paycheck to paycheck, and say if they get sick, you know, their kid has to miss school for a week and they're out of work for a week, that could literally mean them being on the street. And so we raise money. We use a lot of social media to post the stories of the different families and invite our community to meet those needs. And it's been really cool because through that, last year, I think it was over 3,000 families that we were able to help with eviction prevention, getting out of homelessness into their own apartment, food and transportation, other essential items. There's just things that they're going through we just really couldn't imagine going through, especially having children in tow, sleeping outside some nights. And so being in Clarkson, we work with a lot of our clients are refugees, immigrants, but also a good amount of Americans and single parents who need our help so that they don't become homeless or their kids don't go into foster care unnecessarily.
And the Giving Grace ministry in the Atlanta local area is mostly funded and worked through the body of Christ, the local church, the brothers and sisters in Christ, just like you, who care enough to get involved, get to know people, and try to help mm-hmm. and do something about it in these critical cases. Is that right? Does that basically describe who is?
Yes, and we do have a lot of supporters who are not Christians or from other faiths as well, who believe in, you know, what we're doing as well, who just believe in caring for your neighbor. We have supporters that are Christians, and we have donors that are not.
But for you personally, I know your mm-hmm. heart is to lift up the name of Jesus and to do that in a tangible, real-life scenario in someone's personal life that makes a difference immediately is very important to you. And I know you as a mom of three children, that aspect of things, when you see especially a single mom with children impacted by mm-hmm. potential homelessness, or just in poverty or some kind of critical need, I know that stirs mm-hmm. your heart. Can you tell us maybe about someone who recently either you were able to help or maybe in this situation now that you're going to talk to us about maybe is in need of assistance?
So, just as far as what motivates me is the second commandment is to love others as we love ourselves. I just think, like you said, I'm a mom as well, and it does keep me up at night when I think of the trauma and the stress that my fellow moms are going through, mostly single parents who are dealing with so much stress that some of these moms are ending up in the hospital with high blood pressure and chronic health issues. So just showing them that love as if it were me in that situation. I always think of the Good Samaritan story where there was only one person, there was two people that kind of walk by and you kind of think maybe they might have said, well, I'll pray for you. But there was one person who stopped and he poured out his own resources to help that person. That story always moves my heart because of the love that he showed that man. And that was an example of how to do loving your neighbor as you love yourself. So it doesn't always mean that your literal neighbor that lives right next to you, but it's just somebody who is in a desperate situation that you come to know about. And so the way I got started in this particular work with, more of the people that were at risk of losing their housing was in 2019, I was living in an apartment complex and we had a single mom who had fled her partner from domestic violence. She was working at a daycare and they weren't giving her enough hours and it just wasn't enough to pay her rent. And she ended up going through an eviction process and I was able to rally my friends, and this was just seeing the power of just the community coming together. Everybody donated, and we were able to get her back into housing. She was homeless and pregnant for a few months there and separated from her older kids. And I just saw, how hard it can be if you get evicted. It can almost be impossible to get back into housing. It's not like you can just go to another apartment complex, like, because that taints your record. So she's doing well now. Like, she's had the same job for the last 5 years or so. She's been steady in a church now, and it's just been really cool to see how we were able to be a part of her being stable with her kids. And you see that those behaviors that the kids are dealing with start to, the bad behaviors start to increase when the kids are in such instability. But then when they have stability for a while, they start to do better and calm down and do better in school. And we started this fund, so that kind of was the start of me getting involved in housing advocacy and preventing evictions and homelessness, and was able to work during COVID. I was able to work with the city of Clarkston, kind of help people apply for assistance. We had our own private fund as well, where we saw the community, the different ministries and people who care about Clarkston donating. And we were able to help over 200 people during the pandemic keep their housing.
Ellie, this is Bert. I want you to respond to this. It sounds like it's a lot better as a steward of what God has us to do to prevent homelessness rather than trying to correct it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, eviction is very traumatic because the children will see all of their stuff forcibly removed from their home, and they'll have to most of the time leave their school that they've been in, and they'll lose a lot of academic progress during that time. They say an average of like 6 months of academic progress every time they move schools. And then that disturbs the schools as well. And then you have, they might be moved to a hotel because they can't get another apartment, and then the hotels drain them of their money. Some of them paying $2,000 a month. And it's really crazy to see people in our backyard that are actually with children sleeping outside some days of the week when they can't pay their hotel. And these hotels are very dangerous. They don't let the kids play outside because there's so much gang activity. And I don't know if that answered your question.
It does. One more thing, yeah. And I know I've seen a video, and it really sets up the need of what we're doing, doesn't it, Nathan?
Yeah, kind of transitioning, Ellie, to specifically Clarkston and the Clarkston Cares Fund and the most recent development specifically that has affected resettled refugees that are here by invitation of our country with some funding that was designated for them but now has been cut off. And so you and Giving Grace and the Clarkston Cares Fund are stepping in to try to raise some funding. Can you briefly give us an overview of that issue that really is timely right now that we have an opportunity to make an impact in people's lives?
Yes. Yeah, so refugees are different than asylum seekers because they are people who were brought here by the United States government, and they were highly vetted and often have been waiting for years in refugee camps outside of their home country to seek refuge in another country. So the Refugee Resettlement Program has been supported bipartisan, and it's been shown to be very beneficial for our country. Most of the people that are resettled here as refugees end up contributing much more to our country than they do receive assistance, because often they get to work pretty quickly, and they often start businesses. And so basically, we knew that with the new administration that the refugee, you know, there probably wouldn't be new refugees coming in anymore. However, what we didn't expect was that the funding that was to support them to gain self-sufficiency would be cut off. And so, you know, these resettlement agencies had contracts with the federal government to resettle these refugees, means to help them find jobs, and it would support them for average of 90 days. Support their rent and employment services and food. That just was a highly successful program because the majority of these refugees would be self-sufficient within a short amount of time. However, when that funding got cut, these resettlement agencies had to scramble to try to raise private funding. Thankfully, most of them were able to raise that funding, and thus far, nobody's been evicted. However, we found that one of the newer agencies wasn't able to raise that funding because they weren't as well connected in our community, and they had to lay off all but two staff. So we have a list of 26 families right now who are getting eviction notices. Some of them don't have jobs yet, some of them do. But it's just really sad because I think of the verse that talks about showing hospitality, which literally means loving a stranger. And it just, it's really sad to me that they haven't received the same hospitality that we would if we were going to their homes or their countries.
You mentioned 26 families currently right now facing imminent eviction if things don't change, if the funds do not come in. And let me back up by just saying most of our resettlement agencies here in the U.S. are a Christian-based organization. Most of them that you'll run across in different cities are Christian ministries. And so this particular one, I'm not sure of, but there's 26 families facing homelessness and eviction on the heels of just arriving new, welcomed into this country, and now they're looking at homelessness before they can get their feet under them. What is the financial goal that we are looking to fund and to raise? What is needed?
Well, we were aiming to raise $40,000 to fund towards through the end of March, and then another $35,000 to $40,000 to fund from April. Because of the emergency situation, a lot of these families haven't received the employment services that they needed either.
Right. So that's another thing that resettlement agencies would do, right, is to help them locate jobs and get that established. There's a lot of aspects of resettling a family into a new country. It impacts education for the children, but especially jobs for the adults. And so that has also been cut. And so literally they are trying to fend for themselves, maybe without even understanding much English. Imagine trying to find a job in a place where you don't know the language. And so,
and also these resettlement agencies employed refugees too, because a lot of refugees that speak English were employed with these agencies, giving back and helping their community, and they've lost their jobs as well.
Okay. So we're looking to immediately a need of 40,000, which some of that has been raised, praise the Lord, but there's still a need. How much at this point is still needed?
We have donations coming in daily, which is great.
Is it safe to say 40,000 to 50,000 is probably needed still?
Yes. And then, you know, this is just phase one, because we are anticipating that these agencies that were able to meet March rent, they're not going to be doing April. They're just like, okay, you're past your 90 days. So if there's any hiccup in employment, I'm anticipating that there's going to be a huge need to fill in for where those agencies aren't able to be there in the case of emergency anymore. And so our fund is going to continue to raise money to support them through the end of the year and also support our ongoing work to just help people in this Clarkson area who have various emergencies or economic struggles.
Yeah. So what is the best way if someone hears this and says, I can give a little bit, I can do a little, I can do a lot, I can do something, what's the best way for them to contact, maybe get more information, but to definitely support and give?
We can go to www.clarksoncaresfund.org.
Yeah, spell Clarkson for us.
C-L-A-R-K-S-T-O-N.
Okay, so clarksoncaresfund.org.
And there's a donate button there. One thing that has been really amazing to me is just the power of word of mouth. We've just had people sharing and emailing out their friends. And most of the donations I see are not people that I've even met or heard of their names before. So it means that there's folks that are doing what they can, donating what they can, but they're also advocating.
Awesome.
And don't forget that that's also something really powerful, is emailing it out, posting it on your Facebook. Another idea that some people have done is if a small group could get together and try to adopt a family for a month. So the average rent in our area is like $1,500 to $1,600. So if you wanted to get together with your friends and say, we'll try to raise this together, we'll post on our Facebook, see if a few people can donate, and we can sponsor a family for a month.
Okay, awesome. Great opportunity. What an opportunity for the church to be the church and love their neighbor as themselves. We see that happening, but there's opportunity for more of it to happen. And we invite you as a listener to reach out, even check out clarksoncaresfund.org. pray about it, give, but it needs to be done quickly, right? So we're looking at a short amount of the turnaround time. Anything as we close, Ellie, that you want to mention to our listeners? Anything you need to say?
Well, I do want to just share a little story that really touched my heart. I was just on the phone with one of the women that was on the list of my urgent needs from the other organization, and she owed a lot. She owed $3,800, and I just didn't know if we should pay it or not. And the landlord was like, this is really urgent. You guys should prioritize this case. So I called her. She's from the Congo, and she speaks really good English. She was just telling me how agonizing it's been for her, the single mom of two. She wasn't getting any sleep because she was fearing being kicked out onto the streets with her babies. And she said that, you know, with that fear, she just kind of froze. And it was really hard for her to figure out where to move next, how to apply for jobs. And I told her, you know, well, we're going to be able to pay your rent. And that was because of the donations from these different believers and different community members. She started weeping and was just, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And just more times than I could count said thank you. And I just started weeping with her because I just said, you know, what's been done is just, she was so wrong because we were supposed to give you refuge here. And you were made a promise and we didn't fulfill that. And I'm so sorry. And I said, we're going to try to help you find a job. And I said, thank you, God, for providing that funding. And thank you to the believer who felt like she should use her wealth to help others, not just look at the interest of herself, but to others, right? And it was just really powerful to see her response and her relief. And it just made me see like how not having stable housing, how much it just really traumatizes people. And if we can take care of their housing and make sure that that part is stable, then they can start to move forward and to start to contribute back to society.
Yeah, amen. Well, that's a picture of the body of Christ reaching out and doing what we've been commanded to do, to love our neighbor as ourself, to show hospitality to strangers. Thank you for doing just that, Ellie. I pray for you, and I appreciate you and Michael and your family. Love you guys. But I want our listeners to check out the ClarksonCaresFund.org. Pray about how you can give to this need. And we just invite you to do that and see what God leads you to do. But again, Ellie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Nathan. Appreciate you guys as well.
And thank you for listening today to Exploring Missions on American Family Radio.